Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. Guess what, folks? Welcome to our Halloweeny episode. And I say Halloweeny because we'll be talking about all things related to this spooky holiday. There'll be some clips, blips, and if we're lucky, some nipple slips. But I'm one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is not my normal co-host, Nate Gorzinski, although he will appear later in the show. Instead, I got my good buddy, Toby Schofield. Toby, how are you today?
I am doing extra spooky.
Extra spooky? You're doing, is there like a stripper named Spooky?
Yes, that's
my name. I'm doing extra spooky. That's what I'm doing. That's right. And you are a Halloween lover. So I think it's good to have you on this program today. You love it. I mean,
so
go
much.
For it. Own it. Take it. Seize it. Do it's, spooky. It's
the only, and I know it's not an official holiday, not like the, well, you know, the big ones, Christmas and stuff like that, but it's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite. I don't care about getting presents on Christmas or Thanksgiving. I hate that. It's too much. People are like, oh, we have to get together. You have to fight people's schedules to get the whole family together. But Halloween, you just get to just go out, roam the streets like a maniac.
Sure.
And I still do it with my kids, so I can do this. I'm not just like a 32-year-old man running around, you know, knocking on doors. I got a kid for my excuse.
Okay.
But I dress up with him. We both dress up. That's one of the funnest things, is trying to like pick what you're going to be. And I don't know. It's just the best.
You
it's
enjoy
best. Plus candy.
Candy. Yes, of course.
Candy.
Stale candy, cheap candy.
Very cheap candy.
Very cheap candy. And then pretending to be somebody you're not for an evening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this year, who are you going to be? What are you going to do?
You know what? This year I have been slacking because I was trying to make sure the kids got their
presents. Look at you thinking about
presents.
Christmas already.
Yeah. Well, as excited as he gets for costumes and stuff, it is kind of a present. I was going to be a professional wrestler named Mankind, and I had the mask all ready to order because he's got long hair like me. He's a bigger fellow like me. So I was like, oh, this will be perfect. And now I cannot find that mask anywhere. I should have ordered it last month when I had the chance. So now I've got to scramble and completely figure something else out.
I know. Not acceptable.
I know. I messed up.
Well, no, I mean, you're messing up from the get-go, from the jump here, because the whole thing we just established is Halloween is a wonderful time to live out childhood fantasies, and you can be anybody you've ever wanted to be. And the first thing you say when I ask what's your costume, he's like, well, I'm going to be a guy who's got hair like me and is kind of chubby like me. And
but I love Mankind. He was one of my favorite wrestlers
growing
up.
I don't give a crap, dude.
So like, that's...
You should be like Princess Peach. Be a fairy. You want to go all out, dude. Like, take it to the extreme, man. Totally be something that you are not.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to fit the role a little bit. So
yeah, it's your fantasy to be Mankind.
It is.
And pin strangers, sweaty strangers. 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Hi there. Do you want to be in a steel cage match with me?
See, but you're missing out. He's got this sock that he pulls out of his pants called Mr. Socko, and he puts it on his hand, and he puts it in people's mouths. See,
hygienic.
There's a lot of fun to that costume.
Wow. Yeah. You were going to do that, too? Were you going to go the extra mile and just...
You have to have Mr. Socko. There's one wrestling fan that's listening to this that's like,
yeah,
that's an awesome idea, and they're probably going to take it.
Yeah, well, God bless him. I mean... I don't know if you normally keep a sock in your junk. I don't know, man. So maybe that's like a normal thing for you or whatever. But that should be an easy thing to find, right? So all you're missing is the mask.
Yeah, just the mask.
And the bravado.
I was the Big Lebowski last year.
Okay. Again, what's going on with that? You kind of playing into stereotypes a little bit?
Yeah, but I love that movie, so.
Sure. Who doesn't? Everybody likes the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got myself a t-shirt for Halloween because from my end of things here, I've never been a big Halloween person. Now, dude, just go on social media And people are freaking the fuck out when it comes to fall. People have Halloween-themed seasonal tables, and they can't wait to decorate the outside of their homes. So when you tell me, like, oh, it's not as big as Christmas, oh, my friend, contraire mon frère. I think there's a lot of people out there who really want to celebrate Halloween more than anything else. Back to me here, the t-shirt. Now, I know this will do you proud. It'll make you so happy. Fill you with joy.
Let's see.
Well, I got myself a Bucky's Halloween-themed t-shirt because my son, okay? More backstory for you here. Hold on there, Buckaroo Banzai. He is celebrating a birthday around Halloween. So being someone who never particularly cared for Halloween, because my childhood was, I don't know, wasn't that great when it came to Halloween-themed things. It took the birth of my spawn, my seed, to be, okay, well, now he's celebrating his birthday around Halloween. We got to do Halloween-themed things for him to make him happy and everything else. So we do that. We do, like, little mini movie marathons throughout the month, and he gets a kick out of doing costumes. We bought a costume for my dog. So, man, I'm in it now. But, again, as far as my costumes, I got the t-shirt. So all I need to take him trick-or-treating, bruh.
Man, you could be anything you want, and you just want to be yourself. Because
I don't have any
t-shirt.
Need. I don't need to pretend. I'm happy with who I am. Dude, there's nobody else I'd rather be than me.
That's some confidence I wish I had.
Okay? The only thing I'm missing is like $1 million.
Right.
So,
yeah, okay.
I mean, maybe if I could just walk around with a radial flyer with money in it, that would be the best version of me, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I do want to let the listeners know, some of you guys who haven't heard the show before, I'm a huge Bucky's guy. I'm not from Texas. I'm from Massachusetts. But Bucky's, because there's none up east or north or wherever the hell you're from or where I'm from, is like the Walmart of gas stations, where they have everything under the sun, yet they promote themselves and their brand thanks to a colorful, happy beaver mascot. It's almost become a pilgrimage for many people to visit Bucky's and buy the paraphernalia. And I am one of those suckers. So I have my Bucky shirt for every occasion. So that might scare you, Toby. That might be one of the things that frightens you.
That is
my love.
I think I'm
Bucky's.
One of the few Texans that could give a crap less about the Bucky's phenomenon here.
Mm. Why? What's your problem, dude?
I don't know. It's all the snacks and stuff are cool, but then I don't know. It's if I want to go to a freaking Walmart, I'll go to Walmart. Like,
well, no, but that's the thing. It's like a roadside attraction. If you were on a road trip, and you could go to gas station A, which has the dude who is chain smoking butts behind the counter, and has nothing to show for their wares except for like a bedazzled, I don't know, cowboy hat or something. Or you could go to the mega super road stop place that has all this cool stuff and makes it into an event that when you stop, the whole family has to partake and they have food inside, freshly cooked food and snacks and desserts. And I mean, you name it. Plus the cleanest bathrooms probably ever manned by any janitor in the history of mankind.
That's the main reason that you stop at Bucky's. But here's the thing.
Well,
anyone that's not from Texas, when they go into a Bucky's and they see all the Texas flags and the boots and the cowboy hats and all the Texas-style country decorations, that's what everyone's going in there for as you're taking a sip out of your Bucky's cup.
Hey, that was a private moment while you were speaking. Come on now, don't let people know what I'm up to. But yeah, I've got a couple of these cups too, so you can go fuck off.
But it's, I'm not a fan of the country Texas gimmick, the lifestyle.
No, you're totally mislabeling it. That's what you're doing. Because when you walk into Bucky's, sure, there's like Texas style things, but it's, and this is going to sound a little weird, but when you first enter the bathrooms, that's where you see, and I always found this weird, like, they have things for sale, like pictures and brass, like wall decorations and stuff that do like the love it or leave it crap and all the longhorns or whatever.
Laugh.
And I was thinking, like, who's walking into a bathroom? It's like, oh, look at that. You see that right there? You see that cast iron cowboy boot hanging up on the wall with that nifty price tag of $99.99? Oh, I didn't know I wanted it before, but now I've walked into this bathroom, I know I need it. You know, it's like when you used to go to restaurants and they have art on the wall and you'd be, I don't know, I'm going to the soup and salad bar. Oh, I really want that landscape for $55. Waitress, excuse me, can you pull that down for me? You know, but I'm not trying to like shit on you here or like jump all over you to correct you. But I mean, you're kind of describing it as a hokey southern sounding thing, but it's really, I don't think so. It's more... I think, like I said, branded with their mascot more than Texas in many ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel they try to give off that good old country boy kind of decorations and stuff to buy.
Some,
I don't know.
Some. Hey, okay, some.
Speaking of Halloween, Cowboys playing Halloween all year long. They don't need to dress like that. That's just for their little gimmick.
Oh, yeah?
Being a cowboy.
Okay, so you are against Buc-ee's. You're against people Buc-ee's. Dressing with extravagant belt buckles and boots.
Well, I like the belt buckles. Let's.
Oh, you do?
The bigger, the better.
Oh, okay.
I want it to be more belt buckle than human, if possible.
That's almost homoerotic right there. Can't wait to see what's underneath that belt buckle, cowboy. Man, can I say real quick, my throat is killing me right now. It hurts so bad.
Why is that?
Well, I inhaled an insane amount of bleach before we came on air because I've got a dog who insists on pissing everywhere. And today I was just super upset. I'm like, you fucking mutt, you fucking pissed behind my couch. I just grabbed a big old bottle of bleach, poured it on the floor, and then I got my hands and knees to wipe it up. And whoosh, like I just completely inhaled an ungodly amount of bleach vapor. So if for those who've ever seen Seinfeld, there was a episode with the Mackinac peaches. Did you ever see it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So.
Well, there's one time a year where these peaches were sold and Kramer was and Newman were all stoked about it. They couldn't stock up on enough Mackinac peaches. But then there was an apartment being fumigated and Kramer accidentally walked in there, sat, relaxed, read the newspaper, whatever. And when he came out, he lost his senses. So with the Mackinac peach season being finite and only, you know, for this short period of time, he couldn't enjoy them anymore because he had submitted himself to these invisible, pesticides. I feel like that now. Like I'm trying, you just mentioned, oh, you're drinking out of your Buc-ee's cup. I took a sip. I can't taste my coffee. I've lost my taste and my throat is raw.
You know,
I'm stuttering when I'm talking about it. It hurts.
I've got a real question now. I mean, you're saying you just lost your taste and your sense, but
yeah.
You're a huge fan of Buc-ee's. Are you sure you haven't been sniffing this bleach before?
What the hell are you talking about? I'm talking about my dog taking a leak on my goddamn floor, and you're trying to bring it back to Buc-ee's. This is supposed to be a Halloween conversation, and we haven't even discussed Halloween in the last 10 minutes. What are you doing, man? What a crappy way to segue. I thought you were a pro.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, let's get back to it here real quick. Like, Toby, you know, you just mentioned you're a 32-year-old adult male who wants to dress up like a professional wrestler. But
yes.
When you think about Halloween as a kid, right, the best thing is the – and it actually kind of ties into what I just said because all the plastic costumes from Kmart or whatever that smell terrible, flammable. You should have never adorned yourself with any of those things. But, I mean, the thoughts of trick-or-treating are usually, for most people, excluding myself, happy ones. But now that you're an adult, like, are there things or movies or any kind of experience that can really truly terrify you or really scare you that deal with the holiday? Or is it like one of those things now where it's just all the ephemera that goes with it? It's just something you enjoy and you're not looking to be terrified or scared, right? You just want to have a good time.
Well, I do. I am one of those, I'm not like an adrenaline junkie, but I'm one of those kind of people that like to be scared a little bit. I like haunted houses and stuff. And you know, I did a whole podcast where I talked about spooky stuff all year long. And I'm a big fan of horror movies and stuff. So I kind of like that suspenseful frightfulness, you know?
Okay,
and
sure.
I'm I'm kind of an asshole because, like, if I'm watching a movie with someone and I can sense, oh, this is where the suspense is and this is where the jump's going to be, I will be the person that, like, slowly creeps up and tries to time it perfectly to grab whoever's sitting beside me and try to scare the shit out of them. Because I dig that. I love it. If you go to the bathroom, I'm going to scare you when you come out. It's fun. It's a little rush. Mm-hmm. On both sides, being scared because once it all stops and you can laugh about it and you're like, oh, you got me, you know, screw you, that's funny. I don't know. There's something about both sides of it, scaring someone and receiving the scare.
Okay, but there's nothing that absolutely fucking freaks you out, terrifies you.
Oh, I mean, I'm terrified of stuff, but like it's
well, what's
like
the number snakes. One thing? Okay, snakes. All right,
terrified.
So. I could show up at your house with a box of snakes and you'd squeal like a little girl.
Working in the oil field as I do, snakes tend to just, you know, live in the wild. I don't know if you know that or not.
Surprise! Yeah, they're not genetically cloned things in a laboratory. Well, they could be.
They should. You would think they would be just for... Yeah. Anyways, and I have, you know, almost stepped on some or one time I picked up this box that was supposed to have parts in it, and I turned it around to look for said part inside the box, and there was a snake curled up in there. And the story goes that I threw the box as high as I could and took off running and screaming the other direction. I don't know. I wasn't in control of my body at that time. I kind of just blacked out and was in fight or flight mode, and I went flight.
So you murdered an innocent little critter that day.
I didn't murder it. It slithered off. It was perfectly fine.
Well,
it scared me. It's terrifying.
A cat, you can bring a cat up like two flights and drop it, right? I mean, it's not recommended. I'm not telling anybody to go do this. Please don't go, you know, hey, I can throw this cat out a fucking window. But I mean, they land on their feet, right? It's true what they say most of the time. But a little snake, you throw him up 20 feet in the air, he's probably landing a little hard.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I really don't care how that snake landed.
Oh, just, you bastard.
Everything about a snake, like I'm getting goosebumps. Something.
Oh,
my
boy.
Skin is starting to crawl.
Well, you know, Toby, let me tell you a couple things that terrify me. Because here's the thing, right? Yet again, I'm tying this back into being a kid. You see these movies, a mummy could be scary. Now, this is a fictional character, right? There's mummies in real life, but I mean, they're not waking up and fucking coming after you. Frankenstein, Dracula. Things of that nature.
That you know of.
That I'm aware of. Who knows? I mean, I bet you there's some goth kid living in, like, Nebraska, dressed up like Count Dracula, waiting for that day he's going to fucking drink my blood. I can't say with any absolute certainty, but you get my drift here.
Right, yeah.
Traditional sense. Again, I have a 9-year-old. So for him, he will watch an old movie like that. He will do the jump scare like you were talking about, and he'd probably get a kick out of it because he's a kid, you know. Me, yawn, no thanks, going to catch some Z's. Walk into a haunted house. I know there's going to be some insane clown posse fan jumping at me with a fake buzzsaw. And it takes all my restraint not to punch the fucking juggalo, whatever the
gigolo.
Fuck, the American gigolo. I'm going to punch Richard Gere right in the cocksucker. But, you know, yet again, you know what I mean. But, I mean, what are the things that would terrify me now? Snakes, don't like them. Not necessarily throwing the box around, you know, not trying to juggle any serpents. But think about it like this, right? Imagine.
That's my band name, by the way.
Juggling snakes?
Serpents juggler.
Snurpent. Yeah, no, I can't even speak. Snurpent juggler. That's another one of my fears. Losing my ability to speak on the Selling Out Show. Help me. No, but I mean, like, have you ever had an MRI request when you're on a workman's comp claim?
That's
terrifying.
It
sucks. You're going to wait forever. You get treated like shit. Or, okay. All right. How about this? Imagine, if you will, having to appear in court, but you can only respond as Peter Cetera.
In my court. Now, sir, you stand before me accused of a particularly heinous Halloween crime of sticking candy corn in places where it don't belong in public, especially your unspeakables. That's right, those nether regions. How do you plead to these unholy crimes?
Well, first things first, I definitely want to establish the fact I will be representing myself here today. And there's a really funny story behind all of this. Someday, we're all going to just kick back and laugh, oh my God, over this whole thing. Trust you me. But as of today, the right now, I'm going to plead not guilty.
Bailiff, take this man away. I find you most definitely guilty and sentence you to death by the electric chair, you candy corn-holing bastard.
Okay, I thought that'd be much scarier. Or at least funnier. It wasn't. That was a failure on every which level. But guess what? That's terrifying, too, within itself, that I suck at this. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, real world problems are scarier now than any kind of mythical beast.
Yeah.
Paying your taxes. I'd rather fucking have Dracula come up, yeah, or fucking Frankenstein rip me in half. Then pay my taxes.
I really think what you're trying to just say is that being an adult is fucking scary.
Well, no, well, just the responsibilities are more terrifying.
Ooh, don't say that word. I almost had a heart attack.
See, there you go. There's your heebie-jeebies right there. Yeah, I mean, that's it, you know? So if you want to fucking, like, really frighten me and I walk into the haunted house, don't pop out like the character I had mentioned before, like, you know, the insane clown posse guy. Jump out near the tax man. You work for the IRS. That's it. Oh, shit. You know, I mean, crapping my pants.
I think you're on to something because, you know, I mean, if you've ever, like, couldn't, you know, your kid was like, I'm going to go look at toys, and they just run off to the next aisle and you don't see them for a second, and you're like, your heart stops because you're like, oh, my God, my kid's gone. Anything like that. Like, that's pretty terrifying. I didn't think about terrifying like that because I was thinking, like, you know, fears, like something getting me kind of fear. But I didn't think about the tax man getting me.
Well, dude, I'm deep. All right. That's how I roll. Like, I just brought you to your most primal fears, right? I brought them to the surface.
I think that's what I'm going to be for snakes. Halloween now is the tax man.
Yeah, there you go. To be the fucking tax man. And I will run in terror. But, yeah, so I don't know. But hey, listen, Toby, what do you say me and you take a little break here?
Okay.
A little time off and play a clip from Halloween's yesteryear. But then when we come back, maybe talk about some more Halloween stuff, including, because I just saw a Halloween movie that I found kind of weird. So maybe you can tell me and our listeners what you enjoy to watch on Halloween.
Awesome.
That bleach is fucking burning me out. Very common with Halloween is alcohol, nudity, craziness, you know, basically stuff that happens 365 anyway. But, you know, it's more pronounced on this holiday, if you will. And Nate, I have a 911 call from the grand old state of Tennessee that I think we should take a listen to. What do you say?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
In fact, I didn't know what happened till I'd already went by. I saw the blood.
That was part of a 911 call made by a man in Tennessee who was heading to work. He made the call after he saw what appeared to be a dead body lying in his neighbor's driveway.
I thought it was somebody. I thought somebody was laying up there on the driveway. I told them what happened, and they said, we'll send somebody out to check it.
What a fucking sense of urgency the cops have, huh?
Right.
There could be a dead body on the scene. And, you know, we'll be out there. We'll be out there to check it.
Yeah, we'll stop by at some point.
Get the cookies and the milk.
This morning, about 10 o'clock, I get a pounding on the door.
Several deputies went to the house to investigate.
I said, thank you guys for caring, but I'm doing just fine.
That realistic-looking body in the driveway turned out to be just a decoration for Halloween.
Well, that's pretty surprising. I would have thought that was exclusively an Easter decoration.
Yeah. What weirds me out is that if you look at this man's house, this is the only decoration he has. So you can understand why people are freaked out. Like, that, it's not like it's one of those houses with all the shit in the yard. It's a house with a dead body at the garage.
There's nothing for context. There's no jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
No webbing from the railings. Just a right. fucking body underneath a garage door.
He couldn't even write Happy Halloween in blood.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
When the police came today, they pulled the boot off to make sure there wasn't a person in there.
That is some top-notch forensics right there. Do we have a body? I don't know, man. Take off his shoe.
Right? There's no CSI technology going on here. They're just like, grab the boot, pull it off. Let's see.
Tennessee's finest right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And the splattered fake blood,
food coloring, and hair gel.
The family says Halloween is their favorite time of the year, and they're getting ready for an upcoming party.
This was actually starting out as a joke, because when I have my Halloween party, I was actually going to dress up under there after everyone's seen it for so long. And then when they come out to get drinks or something, pop up out of the garage door and scare everybody.
Snickers, peanut butter cups, and heart attacks. Come get them, folks.
A joke they thought would never go this far.
But I thought it looked so real and so fun. So, and I hope people don't take offense to it.
And to make sure there aren't any more mix-ups, the Sheriff's Department posted this on their Facebook page. Attention, everyone. This is a Halloween decoration. Do not call 911 reporting a dead body. Instead, congratulate the homeowner on a great display.
Dude, this guy set up the perfect murder. I'm telling you.
Right?
Because he's got the cops already posting on their fucking Twitter or whatever, don't call 911 about this guy. We're not going to check up on this guy. And now the guy can kill whoever the fuck he wants and put him in his yard. And the cops will be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got a boy who cried dead body scenario on our hands here.
You're right, though. He could just litter the whole fucking yard with bodies and people drive by and be like, oh, great job, Jim. That's a wonderful display you have there. My real question about this is, and, you know, listeners can't see this from the video, but it's obvious this guy is white. Because they would not let an African-American man, a Hispanic man, or anybody of color get away with doing this.
Right. They'd still charge him with something like freaking out the public or public nuisance or some shit. They'd find a way to, get a warrant or probable cause and fuck the dude's life up.
Yeah. This is fucking white privilege on Halloween, folks. Look out.
Yeah, don't call us about crimes at this white dude's house.
Exactly. It's just fucking ridiculous. And, this whole call is just kind of, nonsensical and stupid. We're making fun of it and everything.
Of
but I mean, seriously, Tennessee, and I don't know the town this is in.
Yeah.
But this just, I can't get over the stupidity involved here on every side, every angle.
Right.
But
it doesn't look good for their for Tennessee's finest, the cops down there. They don't, the story doesn't make them look good is what I'm saying.
Were you looking for like a nickname for the cops, like the Tennessee Tin Men or the,
there you go.
Tennessee Oak Trees. I don't even know, but fuck them. Halloween sucks in Tennessee.
Well, that was a fun little trip down the haunted memory lane. Yes, indeed. That's me and Nate talking about some Halloween stuff, because we're cool. But hey, you know what else is cool? Watching stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sitting on the couch. Got the remote in hand. That's cool. That's hip. It's with it. It's my exercise. So, Toby, let me ask you, amigo, loving Halloween as much as you do.
Yeah.
What could you recommend to me or anybody out there to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you're on the fence about Halloween, but this is the kind of stuff. This is a movie or TV show or music or whatever that's totally going to get you in the mood.
Man. See, I'm a binge watcher.
Mm.
So what am I
binging?
I like to just go through an entire series. Like, I'm talking about the entire series, the remakes, and then everything after. I don't know why.
Wait. Are you talking about like a franchise?
Just hitting the whole franchise. But I like to try to make it all make sense. Because, years and years of movies coming out, they have to retcon some stuff and make it to where, it fits in the new movie. And then the next movie, they'll be like, you know what? some of that stuff didn't even, we're just going to pretend like that didn't happen. So you got to try to make it all fit is the fun thing.
No, you don't. You don't. Yes. There's no continuity for a reason.
No, we need continuity. My everyday life is continuity. So we need some continuity. I need it so bad.
Yeah, but you're manufacturing it. It's not like it's legit. Put it this way. There's no one behind that. Okay. All right. Let me stop myself. Full stop. Friday the 13th. There's a famous horror movie franchise. You love it. Okay, fantastic.
Love
so
it.
Maybe this is a perfect talking point. Has there been one sole person behind the entire franchise all these years? Like one like runner, one show producer, or someone who's fucking the rock of the franchise?
I don't believe so.
There you go. So you got people who are getting paid. For example, like, all right, slasher flicks were really popular in the 80s. Oh, we made Friday the 13th part one. We got to knock out number two, number three, whatever. Just write something. Make it gory. Make it silly. Make it stupid. It doesn't matter. We need to make money. So like you're saying, where some of the pieces don't fit, they were never intended to.
Well, and see, I think that's because there was never any long-term goals like there are in movie making now.
There's, sure.
No one was ever going to be, oh, yeah, we're going to have Friday the 13th in space one day, so let's write towards that direction. It just happened because they were like, I don't know, that last one made us a bunch of money. Our pockets are full. We got to bring them back somehow. And that's how it keeps happening. But I like to make it make sense.
Now,
as stupid as it is, you get
okay.
creative with it.
Okay, fine. A little fanfic.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
cool. But the newer movies, to which I have not seen any of them, are they doing nods to the previous movies?
Not so much.
Well, what the fuck, man?
You know, okay, so I love the Halloween series. That's definitely one that they've retconned a ton. But I love me and the kid. I've got a 12-year-old. For the last 6 years, every year we go through, during Halloween, during October, I guess, we go through the Friday the 13th movies. We go through the Halloween movies.
Jeez Louise.
He loves them. He loves them, and we just binge watch them until we get sick of them or until we finish the series, and then we move on. He recently got into the Hatchet series, which that's if you're a fan of horror movies like Hatchet, it's not the best, but it fits together. Like, they somewhat pre-planned ahead of time, and everything takes place in like a 4-day time period if you watch all four of the movies, and they came out like 5-6 years apart from each other, so they're not like, it's not like they were like boom 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 came out one after another. There was time in between, and they
but
still.
Is this an official recommendation?
I would say so. If you like Friday the 13th, if you like, you know, unstoppable monsters for no reason, just coming to kill a bunch of horny teenagers or something, the Hatchet series.
Mm.
But like I was saying with the Halloween, the Rob Zombie Halloween movies, they don't really do anything for the main series. Like, they don't have any kind of nods. And I like them, except there's just Rob Zombie'd it too much. And I know that's super unpopular to say because people love the Rob Zombie movies. But he Rob Zombie'd it too much and just made it grotesque cussing and stuff for no reason. Like, every other word is fuck your cunt.
Well, I would think every other word was yeah. That's what turned me off to White Zombie when I was a teenager. I'm like, every fucking song this guy is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I mean, really? We get it, man. I got it. It's cool. Yeah. All right. Enough.
Do you think that's how he agrees with everything? Like, if someone's like, hey, Rob, do you want some McDonald's?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it's just, I don't know. But I guess, yeah, he Rob Zombied it too much. An official thing as part of the vernacular.
Yeah. But see, with the Halloween movies, I've come up with my own theory because the whole...
You.
Listen.
Yeah,
this is
listen.
Good.
I've got you.
This is good.
Yeah.
All the movies don't make sense because, like, the third movie, they retcon a bunch of stuff. The fourth movie... That's not his sister. I don't know. All of the movies just keep retconning themselves.
Is that a spoiler? Something's not his sister? Should I be, I'll never watch it, so it doesn't
You'll
matter.
Never watch it. Some people are his sister in one movie, some people are his cousin, and it makes no sense because they change it every movie. The whole, lore on him is that he's the boogeyman. Like, everyone calls him the boogeyman. So, in my head, I've made it to where... Every movie is canon because it's kids around town telling the story of this, quote, boogeyman. And that's why, because the stories would change, right? The stories would always change from kid to kid, like hearing it. Oh,
It's like an anthology series.
Yes, that's what I think it is. I feel like it all makes sense if you look at it like that.
All right. Well, Toby, let me tell you something. You suck at giving recommendations. I was waiting for, like, a clear-cut, dude, you've got to see this. Like, seriously.
I mean, instead the classics...
I kind of like to binge. I like franchises. Yes.
But let me tell you something. What I find amazing is your son and my son are very similar in age. Now, mind you, that is a big deal because my son is 9, yours is 12. And you're mentioning movies that I would never, ever, ever, ever at this stage. I couldn't even imagine at 12. Having him watch with the sex, you know, the innuendo, even the blood, the guts and the gore and the ghastly murders. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I get it. He's mature. He understands it. I was very similar when I was young. I was reading stuff and I was into stuff at 12 that I shouldn't had nothing to do with. You know what I mean? But unsupervised childhood. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo woo.
I mean, when you look at older movies, look at the Goonies, like look at some of the language.
Oh, Goonies sucks.
I'm just saying.
Shit fucking movie.
Look at Ghostbusters. There's a blowjob scene from a ghost.
Dan Aykroyd goes cross-eyed. He's having a good old time. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but listen, that's the kind of stuff, like if I watch Ghostbusters with my kid, I usually will fast forward even through the initial library scene because I think that's a little too fucked up for him right now, and the blowjob scene. So there's a lot of editing, parental, guidance.
Right.
It does work.
Well, I bring this up because I feel like, you know, I made it through times where, you know, people weren't fast forwarding through that kind of stuff for me.
You didn't have it. You had to watch it.
Right. And I'm very, usually when we watch these movies, you know, I'm like, close your eyes, look away, look at me. And, you know, if there's ever a point where he's scared of the movie or... If he has questions, we've made sure to have talks about, like, these are movies. These are the bad guys. We don't like the bad guys, you know, and we've had that conversation a couple of times, especially with he plays video games. Like, you can't just go around, you know, Fortnite and stuff. You can't shoot people just for fun. Like, these are games. This is fantasy.
Entrails are not food. Sure.
Yeah, so we've had lots and lots of talks about those kind of things and the violence. And honestly, I think he likes to see, because he looks up on YouTube, like, the makeup and like, the effects, like, how they do things and stuff. He loves seeing, like, how they make it look like if someone's head got cut off. He's really interested in the behind the scenes of it too. So like we've lifted the curtain and completely like showed him like, look, none of this is real.
Yes.
So I think that's one thing that helps separate it.
Okay. Yeah. And I've had similar talks like this is fantasy. That's always a big one in my household. This is not real. It is fantasy.
Right.
But I mean, in contrast to your viewing experiences, like, okay, me personally, I like my horror infused with comedy. So if you said to me, what do you want to watch? I say Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Shaun of the Dead. You know what I mean? I know that's like an easy thing to say, but that's a great movie and it has horror themes in it. Yet there's a lot of comedy, a lot to laugh at. And that's what I need. I just don't want to see, as you had mentioned previously, horny teenagers trying to fuck and having their nuts ripped off or slapped up against a tree in a sleeping bag. It's tired to me, you know what I mean? But hey, here's the thing, though. With my kid, because I censor so much stuff, you know what I just had to watch? Under Wraps, a remake of an original Disney movie from 1997. They've remade it, and now it's on Disney+. And my God, the awards I should be winning, the parades that should be thrown in my honor, the accolades I should deserve as a father for sitting through an hour and a half of a movie such as Under Wraps are unfathomable. They're unthinkable. They can never add to repay me for the debt of the time served. Do you understand? Have you heard of this movie, Under Wraps?
No. What?
Oh, my God. It's about a fucking reanimated mummy, but it's like it's so bad. It's so cheesy. It's so formulaic. It's obviously made for like a 6-year-old or something, right? And I get that. And there's a place for this stuff in the world, right? Because you got to have it. You can't all watch, like we were just talking about, the gore or whatever. Kids need their kicks too from Halloween. But I mean, The fact that someone got paid to write this, make this, produce this, I'm like, geez Louise, this is just not an art form anymore. This is drivel. This is terrible. This is horrible. I mean, put it this way. I was just trying to avoid saying in contrast because I think I just said that like a minute ago. I'm trying not to repeat my words, which is also something that terrifies me. I don't like doing it. I do it way too much. So if you catch me, feel free to virtually bonk me over the head. But there's a series on Netflix called Nightbooks, and it's produced by Sam Raimi. And it said PG on it, so I'm like, well, let's give it a shot. Oh, boy, oh, Lord. No, my son was like, this is too scary, Dad. And I was actually interested in that, maybe because it kicked it up a notch. It wasn't just, oh, look at this mummy getting his, I don't know, hands stuck with honey and then dancing around. You know what I mean? Like, that whole thing. So
Yeah.
But I forgot what I was trying to get to. I've completely lost the point, so please, Toby, take it away.
You know, I think that's the other thing about Halloween that really excites me is like people are more, because all year long I like horror movies. I think it's so funny when people are like, all right, it's Halloween, what horror recommendations? Like, well, I mean, there's been stuff that's been coming out all year long that you're missing. It's nice when October hits and people are like, okay, now we can talk about horror movies and we can talk about scary stuff. It's nice because during the summer, I watched. I never watched the Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp, is that what it's called?
Yes, indeed. How do I know this and you don't?
Well, it's because it's one of those series that I've always stayed away from because I always thought it was a knockoff of Friday the 13th. In a way, it is, but not just the first one. And I liked the first one enough because of the twist at the end. And all the rest of the one, I think I've watched 2 and 3 so far. I don't know if there's another one, but I hate it. But
oh,
I did. I know my friends have already shamed me and almost kicked me out of our friendship groups because of it. I know, but no one wants to talk about it. Even though it's a summer movie, it's set in the summer. Like you still kind of have to watch that during October and Halloween and, I don't know.
Fuck you, man. I'm watching Jaws in February. You know what I mean? Like,
that doesn't feel like a horror movie because, like, there's nothing supernatural happening. There's no slashers, no one wearing costumes. It's just a shark.
Oh, no. Jaws is scary shit.
Jaws is scary.
Yeah. But I think with what you just said is, like, imagine you're a super horror fan. And October rolls around, and it's like the floodgates open, and everybody's like, oh, I can't wait. And like you said at the beginning of the show, I'm getting spooky. So everybody's out there getting spooky, and they're like fucking posers.
That's exactly what it is. But I think that's why it's hard for me to just like come up with a recommendation, because usually when Halloween comes around, I want to watch the classics, you know, all the stuff I watched growing up. And so because all year long I've watch all kinds of goofy stuff. I watched this show. It was all about like voodoo and curses called the new cherry flavor on Netflix.
What?
It's got zombies in it and like
it's called new cherry flavor.
Yeah,
like a soda pop.
You would think that. I had no idea what it was going into it. It's sort of horror esque. I don't know. It was good but confusing. And there's one scene I don't even want to talk about. Has to do with her growing a vagina on her stomach.
And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A guy fisting it, and it's on Netflix, and it's super bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably puts you in the mood not for Halloween, but for something else. No, right? Doesn't it, Toby? Oh, yeah.
No, she was also giving birth to kittens from it, so that also, like...
Well, the person who named this show, my hat's off to you, my friend.
Yeah.
New cherry flavor. They got people fooled. They think they're in there. Oh, is this a documentary about the history of cherry cola? No. We got cat births and fisting and oh, yeah. All of it is happening
zombies,
right here to your heart.
Voodoo. Yeah.
I'm so glad we spent all this time talking about recommended films or lack thereof. And this is how we're ending up. This is where we're at. You know, it's just perfect. It's just so us. You know what I mean? Isn't it, though?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Toby, what do you say we take another little pause, play some more goodies, some words from our partners, and then when we return, our closing remarks. You're supposed to say no. I don't want to do that. And I'm supposed to say, oh, I don't know what to do because I get the play button right here. I'm supposed to hit this button and go bing, bang, boom. I'm playing some good stuff, but you stop me. But instead, you just stay quiet. What's going on?
I mean, you know, you're the captain of this ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, say yes or no. Don't fucking be quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez. What the fuck, man?
Sorry.
All right. Away we go.
But Halloween, man, it sucked for me as a kid. I'm sure many of you expect me to say, oh, I love Halloween, costumes and candy and trick-or-treating and all the like. But realistically, it was terrible for me as a kid. And the reason was my mother hated Halloween.
Oh,
couldn't
man.
Stand it. Oh, my God. It was she just hated the idea of taking me out to get candy from strangers. Actually, you know what? Before we get into that, do you want a quick history of Halloween?
I would love
to inform you and the listeners out there.
I would love a little backstory on Halloween here.
Yeah, before we get into my whole miserable childhood, let me give you just a quick condensed rundown on how Halloween came to be. It's actually a Celtic thing.
Mm.
It was originated with the ancient Celtic festival of, how do you say this?
Samhain?
Samhain, but I think some people say Samhain.
Well, it's very funny that you say that. I just was doing some research myself, and everyone says Samhain. There's even a band called Samhain. And
right.
Yeah, I noticed that in that Gaelic sort of tongue, that Celtic Gaelic tongue, it's actually, pronounced Samhain. Which makes no sense, but then again, neither does the name Siobhan or the name Sean, even S-E-A-N. Those Celts and that Gaelic makes no sense, but sorry.
Those crazy Celts.
Crazy Celts.
Fucking nutty Celts. And I'm actually inclined to say Celts,
yeah.
Because we're from the Massachusetts area and the Boston Celtics, but I will not do that today. I'm trying to stay true to history.
Yep.
So anyway, these people, the Celts, on Samhain or Samhain or whatever you want to say, they would light up bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor All Saints.
Wow.
Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain, Samhain. And the evening before was known as All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually legit. They weren't just begging for stuff. They were lighting fires, baby.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting, man. I love hearing these. Like, it's funny how these mainstream Hallmark holidays often have, like, pagan beginnings or Celtic beginnings. Like, when you look at Christmas and how they've turned it into this, I know we're not in a Christmas episode, but just there's similarities between how Christianity and American culture has sort of co-opted this holiday and turned it into something of theirs. But a lot of them would be shocked or in denial of the pagan or non-Christian roots of these things. But
absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of co-opting or borrowing, trick-or-treating, just a quick recap on this as well. Borrowing from the Irish and English traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money.
Beggars.
A practice that, beggars, get off my fucking porch. If you didn't give them food, they would leave flaming turds on there.
Pooper! again.
He called the shit poop.
A practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition, young women believed that on Halloween they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple pairings, or mirrors.
Or reading the entrails of fucking sheep. You know what I mean? Like, there's all the crazy shit. You never heard of that? Like, people back in the day would tell fortunes or whatever by, they'd cut open a fucking goat or a sheep or whatever and read its entrails. Just, or to a lesser extent, people would drink tea and look at the bottom of their teacup and all the little flecks of tea leaves. They would read into them and be able to tell someone's future, these diviners. But yeah, sheep's entrails. Look it up.
I guess I will. Yeah. I mean, how bizarre. Well, the whole idea of that, when you mention it, is just like disgusting because you have to either kill something or take something that's recently been killed.
Yeah.
And pull out its entrails, which does not sound enticing in the least. But how far off is that from someone who says they can speak in tongues?
Right. You know?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, those wacky-ass people.
Those whack-ass motherfuckers. All right. In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers and about ghosts, pranks, and witchcraft. At the turn of a century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focus on games, foods of the season, and festive costumes. Let's see here. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening or grotesque out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century.
It was losing its bite.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I guess there you go. You can't dress up like Satan.
Ugh. What fun is that? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, that's basically it for my whole Halloween recap. I borrowed that from history.com, so thank you for letting me plagiarize you and take your information.
Yeah.
So are you interested in getting into my sad tale?
I am. I mean, I'm always a sucker for like I said, the origin stories, and anytime that I love hearing that shit. But Dave, we want to hear about your Grinch of Halloween mother.
Yeah, she certainly was. And I jumped into that. I get so excited about it. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit before I got into the history recap there. But
that's all right.
Yeah, so she never wanted to take me out. So my deal was I was always all dressed up with no place to go, and I'd suffocate myself with those noxious plastic fumes that came out of the Ben Cooper-made Halloween masks and just hand candy out to other kids.
Oh.
That was my gig.
You were like reverse trick-or-treating. You would answer the door dressed up.
You got it. Wow. And I remember it so vividly to this day. I remember my costumes. One year I was Batman, and I was so happy with my flammable Batman costume, and I was so proud of myself, and I just had to hand out candy to others. Oh. Another year I was a mummy.
Yeah.
And I made a big deal out of it. I put on paint underneath my wrap, so if they even came loose, it looked like I was decaying or something. It was fairly, elaborate for a kid of my age.
Nice.
Yet, here's the Butterfinger to the neighbor, and I would just have to wash my face in shame later in the night.
Oh, dude, that's so sad, man. I don't know.
Yeah. There was one occasion she let the neighbor take me out trick-or-treating, and I believe his name was Jimmy. But even that was a little haphazard.
Yeah.
Because, it's a neighbor. I'm a little kid. He could have kidnapped me or something, or God knows what. But my mom didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, just stop bugging me about the fucking trick-or-treating and go with this dude and leave me alone.
Go with fucking Jimmy. Jeez,
yeah,
man.
That random Jimmy. We'll just call him random Jimmy. But, I don't want to portray my mom in a terrible light. She was a single mother. She worked very hard.
Yeah.
But man, she really dropped the ball on Halloween. Ma.
Dude, that sucks, man. I know.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You know what, though? The memories have stuck with me, and I'm able to podcast about it this day.
That's
so I guess it didn't all go for naught.
Right. Everything becomes a story in the future. Rough childhoods become interesting tales down the road. So, I don't know, man. It builds character, Dave. You know what I mean?
You think so?
Yeah. Everything builds character. That's a way to kind of dull the sting of these childhood scars.
When I start thinking about fear, it's just more, what are you scared of? Mm. You know, what frightens you? I mentioned to you pre-show, I kind of want to discuss what kind of scared us as kids and affected our psyches back then. And
sure.
What freaks us out now? You know, what causes us a state of panic? Fear is something that invokes our fight or flight response, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Are we going to stand up to our fears or are we going to run away?
Right.
And this is just a really basic, pure human emotion, which is all caused by chemicals in our brain and gets us pumping with our adrenaline and you know, all that good stuff. So when I think about fear, that's where I begin. My earliest memories of what scared the living bejesus out of me.
Yeah. What was that?
Well, for me? Oh, boy. Yeah. I had a lot of weird fears when I was a kid. And I think this contributes into why I'm such a weird adult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I used to be afraid of looking up directly at the sky.
Okay.
Because I thought I would float away like a balloon and no one would ever see me again.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Like, I remember being at, like, the bank with my mom, and she'd be going inside. I'd look up and go, oh, I got to hold onto a tree. I've got to grab something, the curb, anything, so I don't fly away forever.
Wow, man. God bless gravity.
Yeah, I needed it. Yes, thank you, gravity, which is now actually kind of a curse for me. I look, everything's kind of just, you know, hanging down, if you know what I mean.
But
then as far as TV and stuff, there was one, there was this one show in particular, and I don't know where it was aired or where I originally saw it, but it stuck with me my entire life and freaked me the hell out. Have you ever heard of Chico the Rainmaker?
No, I can't say that I have, bro.
This is a show about a shrunken head in a box. Yeah, seriously, that hangs out with two British kids. It's a British show.
Yeah.
And they have adventures in the name of Chico, because Chico's just a head. He's stuck there in a cave or whatever. I think at one point he turns into a dove. But, dude, even the theme song is enough to elicit fear in any child's heart.
Chico, Chico the Rainmaker. Chico, Chico the Rainmaker. Chico, Chico the Rainmaker. Chico, Paco, Paco, want to make the rain.
Wow, man. I don't know how I missed this one. This was on regular, like, was this a kid's show?
I guess I did a little research on it because the image always haunted me and stuck with me, but I forgot the name. I just remembered the shrunken head doing his little thing or playing the pan flute or whatever the hell. And then I want to say it was maybe like 2 years ago. It freaked me out in like a dream. And I woke up the next day. I'm like Googling. I'm going crazy. I'm like shrunken head in a box. I'm coming up with all this weird stuff. And then I think I put it out on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And someone actually responded to me. And I was like, that's it. That is the fucking image that has been freaking me out my entire existence. And it's on YouTube.
You weren't alone, apparently. Somebody else struck a chord.
It struck a chord. I don't know how scared of it they were. But listen, I posted it on Twitter afterwards. I'm like, okay, now you are all scarred as well. You're welcome.
Yeah, see, I was kind of being on vacation and whatnot. I kind of missed out on some of the Twitter. I was trying to take a vacation from social media as
well. How dare you?
Yeah, I know, man. But I would have been interested. I'll have to go look at that because that doesn't ring any bells with me. I feel like that would have been something that I may have been interested in as a kid. I personally was drawn to creepy stuff. And I don't know, as a kid, I had an older brother, 4 years older than me, and we always loved horror movies. It was something in that childlike mentality where you're like, oh, I'm getting away with seeing something that I'm not supposed to. Spoken on other podcasts about how my stepson is, we end up watching horror movies. He's getting to that age where he's interested, and I love it. But yeah, I missed out on this Chico, the shrunken head in a box or whatever it's called.
Rainmaker.
Chico
the Rainmaker.
Chico the Rainmaker.
I think it also goes by the name the boy with two heads, which I don't really understand, but continue, please.
Yeah, not at all. I was just saying I always loved that side of entertainment. I always loved like horror movies, dark music. I said as I grew up, I've mentioned that I was kind of gothy. I was, you know, I liked wearing black. I liked, but the movies I watched, dude, I always watched, the weird, obscure 80s horror movies, and I'm still a fan of them. And that brings me to this topic of like how fear despite being a, quote, negative emotion, something on that negative side of emotions, it's a pretty big seller in society, man. There's a whole industry of, yeah, horror movies. Yeah. And it even goes to the fear that's associated with, like, amusement parks and roller coasters. Yeah. And rides like that. People go skydiving, man. To keep it in this, what we were scared of as kids and whatnot. I obviously wasn't skydiving, you know, as a little kid, but, right. But my brother and I definitely were the types that would find tall trees to jump off of and, you know, our rope swings that were death defying or whatever we could do. We'd go to the ocean right after a storm. So the waves were potentially dangerous and fun. And I don't understand what that is, but I think it's the adrenaline that comes out with fear is akin to like a drug or some kind of pleasant experience to some people. Some people can't stand it. It's you know, uncomfortable. I feel like I had a lack of fear where maybe it would have been smart for me to be scared as a kid. You know, my parents were probably plagued by the fact that, you know, my brother and I were doing things that could have gotten us killed, you know, stupid tricks on our bikes. This is more the physical side of fear. I mean, we had irrational fears too. You got, as a kid, the world is a scary place, man. You know, nightmares and fear of the dark, things like that. It's, you know, some of that magic has gone. You know, I've gotten older. I've stopped believing that there's such things as ghosts and monsters under the bed or in the closet. And despite that being a, quote, negative thing when you're a kid, I almost miss that sort of belief in something magical. The world's a little more boring when you realize there's no monsters, the same way it's, you know, there's no Santa Claus or Jesus, man. You know, it's, I feel like the world was a little more interesting when I thought there could have been ghosts, and not just because maybe there's the end of your life isn't technically the end. That's one aspect, obviously, but there was just something kind of cool about, oh, there's that house down the road that, you know, may or may not be haunted. And, you know, now it's just, oh, that's a house that should be torn down, or the person that lives there is a nut job. It's like, I feel like, yeah, there was something a little magical to that.
This is the part of the program I'd like to recognize the partners of the show that supply us with some great products and coupon codes that we are now giving to you. First up, we've got NorthlandVapor.com. Oh, Northland. One of my favorites, because their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free. Now, if you're a former smoker like me and you've switched over to vaping as an effective use of smoking cessation, you might notice some liquids taste a little funkier than others. And you quit smoking in the first place to stop putting nasty chemicals into your body. Well, luckily at Northland Vapor, they don't mess with any of that junk and provide smooth tasting e-liquids for your enjoyment. Along with all sorts of other vaping supplies. So make sure you check them out at northlandvapor.com. Plus, they have retail brick and mortar locations that you can locate easily via their website. Next up, Alpine Hemp. The CBD revolution has arrived. Name an ailment, any ailment. Let's spin a wheel of ailments. If you have anything wrong with you, guess what? CBD is there to help. And CBD has been proven to be an effective and natural way to deal with such things as stress, pain, sleeplessness, anxiety, weight loss, energy issues, and a whole lot more. And now Alpine Hemp has it all, full spectrum, and more products than you can shake a stick at. So don't wait. Make sure you check out alpinehemp.com. Now at both of these sites, northlandvapor.com and alpinehemp.com, you can use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 to save 19% off your entire order. Sweet deal. And last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Spunk is an award-winning lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? You can now have Spunk delivered discreetly to your home by visiting spunklube.com. So you and your partner can have a steamy night with Spunk and thank me later. And I do accept personal checks. All right, everybody, make sure you check these companies out. They're awesome. I use their products personally. Can't endorse them enough. But without further ado, let's get back to the show. And we are back in the present time. That's right, in the future, the here and now. So, Toby, to close out our humble little Halloween special here, while we were listening to those clips, you made a good point to me. You said something that was very relevant, and it got me thinking, which is a dangerous thing in itself. Ooh. You know, thus far on this show, we've been talking all the superficial stuff, right? The basics. We've been keeping it simple. Because you got your Halloween movies, you got your Halloween candy, and your costumes and the like. But I mean, there's really a whole nother world out there underneath that soot and dirt when you swipe it away. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, besides the movies, besides dressing up, besides decorating, there's other things. You know, comic books. There's
some scary great books.
Horror comic books and stuff. But video games, every year, because I have the Secret Levels podcast, which is a retro video game review show, during Halloween, we always play spooky kind of games. Now, I say spooky, one of the games for this month was Ghostbusters, but it's because it's got ghosts in it.
Yeah.
And then one of the games is a game called Master of Darkness. It's because it has Dracula in it. So we try to find, you know, monsters and stuff like that.
Yeah, wide appeal. It's not like just doing Splatterhouse on TurboGrafx-16.
Right. Now, I do think, I think our first year we did play Splatterhouse 2 for Sega.
But it was Sega. I thought it was TurboGrafx.
No. It's funny because you're right.
I'm so dumb.
No, you're right. It did come out on TurboGrafx-16 first, so...
Oh, hey, well, look at that. I'm brilliant.
Good on you for knowing that. Not many people do know that.
I'm awesome.
But yeah, so we also stick to, you know, again, it's all retro games, Super Nintendo, Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and all that. But yeah, retro video games and horror, and they're not always that great. I can't recommend...
The shows or the game?
The games, like, the show's great. Go check out my show, please.
Yes, well, you know what? Where can people find it? Let us know right now, because I'm about to plug my shit, too. So let's plug away. Let's get tacky together.
Well, you can go to badsecretmedia.com, and you can find the Secret Levels podcast, and you can find my other old show, Secret Transmission, where it's just a lot of spooky-dooky stuff.
Spooky-dooky.
Spooky-dooky. Oh, yeah.
And I want to let people know, if you ever want to get in touch with the Selling Out Show, it is easy, super easy, spooky dookie. I might have to use that. I know I didn't use that properly there, but I'm going to use it again in the future. Instagram at Selling Out Show, Facebook at Selling Out Show 1, because we are number one. Fingers for everybody. Or sellingoutshow@gmail.com is another way to find us. On Twitter at Selling Out Show. Yeah, so your socials, just look for at Selling Out Show on, you know, whatever. So I hate doing that. I don't know why. I always feel like such a fraud. You know what I mean?
Like a sellout?
Yeah. Hey. No, I mean, No, touche. It's just one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, we do this show. We just put it out there. We kind of like, I don't know. Some people are shameless with their promotion, and I get it. You know, I understand it. You want to be heard, I know, but I'm like organic, bro. I'm all about my hacky sack and my fucking patchouli. I just want my audience to grow from the earth, man, from the soil, you know?
Yeah.
Like someone listened to it and they said to their buddy, hey, listen, this fucking fuddy-duddy, this idiot over here, I kind of like wasting an hour of my day checking this dude out. His smooth tones, bleach-burned, smooth voice, you know? So... Anyway, I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to our humble little program today. Now, I don't know if you got your full Halloween value or experience out of it, but hey, maybe, just maybe, unlike Toby's film recommendations, it put you in the mood immediately to go do something Halloween-esque, like go toilet paper a house,
go egg somebody. You know, grab some Aquanet and a lighter. Let some fucking fireballs fly. Dude, that was real, man. I did that one year because my mom wouldn't let me go out trick-or-treating. So I sat in my bedroom like, fuck this, fuck the establishment.
A little pyro.
Yeah, I was lighting fireballs in a closed space, and my room wasn't even big. It was like a small room. So that's how you, like, you know, you fucking show you're angry. She didn't even care. She was like two rooms away watching TV. I mean, they're lighting fireballs. I could have killed everybody in the apartment complex.
That's not funny.
No, I'm saying, though, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, what the fuck? This is terrifying. There's a
psycho kid.
Yeah, 14-year-old. They're fucking lighting off fireballs, angry with his mom.
Angsty little kids.
Yeah.
I can do what I want to do. Fireball.
Yeah. Fireball. Fireball. Yeah, fucking give me the hairspray right now. But that shit, I don't even know if they sell, like, they ever fix that? Or is that still, like, something you can do?
I have no clue.
Wow. Listen, guys, don't listen to me. All right, stop. Whatever you're doing, don't. If you're, like, under the age of 18, please do not do anything I ever say on this show or talk about. Please. This is, like, official, like, it'll hold up in court harder than Peter Cetera's voice. Like, seriously, don't, because I'm a fucking moron. But, oh, yeah, what were we doing? Oh, we're ending the show. That's right. I always suck at this part, too. It's like, oh, one more thing before I go. Oops. But virtual hugs for all of you. Virtual pumpkins. Bags filled with, like, legit candy. I hope you all get Butterfingers, because those are the best.
Full bars.
Listen, you know, full bars is a big ask.
You know what I mean? I didn't say king size or whatever the giant size ones are called.
No, but I mean, how much is a fucking Butterfinger nowadays? It's like $1.20 or something, or $1.50.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the little ones. Just give me like 10 of them and I'll fucking eat them all at once. Still extra labor on my end just fucking unwrapping the damn things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, please do that. Don't fucking give out dum-dums that you got from the dollar store or candy corn, any of that shit. Don't do that to people.
No candy corn.
All right. But now I'm really getting the fuck out of here. So Toby, thank you for being on. Nate is still in Tennessee. You like how I said that? I just insulted everybody in a state. So... yeah, don't do anything dangerous and don't fucking hate me, Tennessee. But he should be back soon, so happy Halloween to all of you. Toby, you're the bomb diggity. And this has been The Selling Out Show.